Hope and the Senate Education Committee today, February 19th, 2018. And we have a little testimony on two of the House bills. There appears to be about six bills in the queue over in the House if they make it here before next Monday, which is the last day we have open. We have two more committee meetings for this committee. If they make it here, we'll put them up and we'll have a conversation. If they don't make it, they'll probably go someplace else. So that being said, as we move through the session, we're going to open a public hearing and work session on House Bill 4043A. And with that, we'll have a short explanation for 4043A. And Andrea, you're welcome to come up here and take your esteemed position at the witness table.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, House Bill 4043A requires Oregon community colleges to conduct a joint study to determine best methods for helping community college students learn about and apply for state or federal benefits. The bill requires the community colleges to convene a study group, including but not limited to representatives from the Office of the Governor, Higher Education Coordinating Commission, and an agency that provides benefits. It requires the community colleges to submit a report detailing the study's findings to the interim legislative committees on higher education by February 1st, 2019. The bill sunsets the study group on January 2nd, 2020, declares an emergency effective on passage.
Thank you for being here. And before you even get started, I will say thanks to the community colleges who have, in large part, done this stuff for high schools. You continue to try to help us do a better job of helping our kids. But I always am reminded of the commercial with the military people where they get out of the service and they're in a classroom and then they leave and then they poke their head around saying, "What did you say?" Because I don't think we can say it enough to get people to remember that there are things that we've already told them about. So anytime we can continue to do that, it's good for me. So with that, I'll thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. Chair Roblin, members of the committee, for the record, Andrea Henderson, Executive Director of the Oregon Community College Association. I'm testifying today in support of House Bill 4043. So this bill, essentially what it does is creates a conversation in the interim around how to best coordinate benefits for the benefit of community college students. To give a little bit of background on this, about a year ago, the seven federal agencies that have some sort of benefit that could potentially be used by students got together and issued a letter that looked specifically at community college and university students and outlined all the decisions that states could make that would maximize benefits for students. And so based on that letter, we had a legal intern that went through and looked at all the different statutes and administrative rules that potentially can be changed to help benefit students. And essentially what this bill does is to create that process to bring human services agencies, HEC, and others together to look at basically a roadmap to bring back for the next session in terms of what the decisions can be made. So a little bit of background about why this is so important. A study was done approximately a year ago by the Wisconsin Hope Lab that looked at housing and food insecurity in students. And the results of that were fairly startling. For students, 61% of the students that were surveyed in community colleges had sometime in the last month experienced food insecurity. And 7% of those students did not eat for an entire day because of lack of funding. It also looked at housing insecurity, and 53% of the students had in the last year some sort of housing insecurity, whether it was couldn't pay their rent, were homeless. Actually, 1 in 14 of the students surveyed had been homeless sometime in the last year. So it's fairly startling statistics looking at our students who are trying to better their lives, and what they can't eat and don't have a place to live really makes it that much harder for them. So that's really kind of the background for doing this. Some of the decisions that the state could make differently, for example, for TANF students, approximately 1% of the TANF dollars right now go to students. The maximum allowed by the federal government is 30%. And so that's one area that we could look at to do differently. So there's also, if you're on TANF and you don't work 20 hours a week, you no longer qualify for it. One of the things that could be changed is to allow time in school to count towards those work hours. Those are two examples of the kind of the policy decisions that could be changed. And essentially what we'd like to have with this bill is to look at all those different options and bring back recommendations. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Yes, Senator Dembrough.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I think this is a great idea. I'm really glad that you're doing it, and I look forward to the results of it. You know, something that I've been interested in for a while is, you know, we've all seen the good work that school-based health centers do, you know, for high school students. And, you know, for many of them, it just provides a very convenient, easy opportunity for them to get direct medical care. Do you know, are there any states that are doing that at the community college level? Or are there any community colleges that would have an interest in having a clinic located on their campus if the funding were available, or if, you know, they were partnering with the county or something like that? Because, you know, I've always felt that this is a population that could really benefit from having that sort of easily accessible, you know, opportunity. Many of them are getting benefits, but to go, you know, off campus to a, for a physician's appointment or, you know, whatever, can be difficult.
Chair Roblin, Senator Dembrough, Lane Community College actually several years ago located a health center on campus that was available for both for students and for faculty, and connected it with their nursing program. To my knowledge, no other colleges have done that, but I think certainly is a conversation that they can continue to have.
Yeah, I'd be interested in knowing if there are potential, through partnerships, the colleges could access, you know, benefits mm-hmm. that could help pay for that.
So the good senator from District 30, Senator Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is going to sound out of place, but we brought a bill, I want to say last year, can't remember exactly, but it was the intent of the bill was to educate kids on the danger of debt. And so as colleges, particularly with declining enrollments, become more enthusiastic about convincing kids that college is the answer, we wanted to put something in place to try to alert them to the fact that they really did need to know what they were going to school for, not just because it was easy. And so I'm always enthusiastic about helping people be aware of additional benefits, but how do we make sure that as we're working on that side of the equation, we're also addressing the situation which I've seen a lot of, which is kids go to school because, although it's kind of different now because the job market is so tight, but kids would go to school just because it was convenient, and they hadn't decided what else to do yet. And so this wasn't a question so much of need as just not being aware of the fact that there might be something, they should be exercising a little more care in how they spent the next 2 or 3 years of their life. What kind of effort are you guys making to try to address that particular student? I mean, I must say, I'm a little guilty of looking back when I went to school all those many years ago, and so many of my friends that were in school were perhaps there just because it was awfully easy way to spend time and an awful lot of fun. Their grades were really bad, and as soon as they ran out of money, they went off and got a job someplace. Do those people still exist, or have we turned over a new leaf someplace?
So, you know, we don't have the draft anymore, Senator.
Yeah. And if I may respond to that, although that was true in the first couple of years, that went away when we got the lottery in my last 2 years. And so that was a good argument a long time ago, way back.
Chair Roblin, Senator Benz, I think the main effort to really help students figure out what they want to do is through an initiative that colleges are working on right now called Guided Pathways. And essentially it's to create less option for students to move away from essentially a cafeteria model of here's all the different classes you might want to take, to really kind of narrowing down that option so that the idea is the first term that students are there, they have to pick one of 7 core areas. And the classes are very prescriptive for each of those areas. And then it kind of follows them and guides them on that path so that they have less options and more focused in terms of what they want to do. That's really more for transfer students. On the career and technical education side, it's fairly prescriptive for students. So if they walk in the door and they want to take to get a welding certificate, it's fairly directive in terms of here's the classes you take each term, and they can tell what the jobs are available and kind of what their job prospects are with some sample incomes coming out. So I think on the CTE side, we've made a lot of progress. We're now making progress on the transfer side of it as well.
Yes, I just met with a bunch of students in the last week, and I was surprised at how many majors were were what I'll call the soft humanities, so just like the one I had as my major, which was history. A lot of theirs was poli-sci and the like. As I told them, the only way I made my history degree pay off was by going to law school. And so that's the kind of student I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the kid who wants to go into Weldon, which actually has an idea of what he or she might want to do. I'm talking about the one that is more interested in this college because it's more fun than what their alternatives might be. How do you head that kind of person off, or at least direct them appropriately?
Senator Roblin, Chair Benz, the majority of our students are adults. Over 60% of them are 25 years and older. For most of them, because they have to give up a job or they don't have a job, they're, I think, a little more motivated and really focus on what's the path that's going to take them into a job. Many of them have children. It's a very different population.
And thank you for that answer. That, of course, is not the type of student I'm talking about.
So did we pass the bill last year that Senator Taylor was on that had to do with giving out information about how much interest they're going to have to pay on their loan? Don't you guys do some of that already?
That was Senate Bill 253, requires institution of higher education to provide a fact sheet. That's the one you're referring to.
Are we still doing that? Or have we done that? I thought we did. So,
Chair Roblin, yes, the bill passed, and it is something that the colleges are doing.
So that answers part of that question, because it tells them exactly what it's going to cost if you take this loan or not that loan and some of those things. But
Mr. If I may.
Yes.
I'm not talking about the loans anymore. I'm talking about the student who is using up a space and perhaps valuable resources for reasons that we're not enthusiastic about, perhaps just to spend time. And very hard to sort that kind of person out. Lots of growing up going on, and it's probably a cost we just have to grin and bear it. But when I look at this type of a study here, I think, there are other things we could be studying, and I'm all in favor of trying to help those who are enthusiastic about getting an education, particularly the older people going back for the retraining we know must happen. I'm focusing more on a much narrower space and just saying, hey, we might want to consider other studies that might help us make this these opportunities available to those who can use them best.
Thank you for that. So do we know the intern's name, or do they want to stay silent? Because I think they should get credit for providing a way that makes it easier for some of these people who, I do agree that community colleges have a lot of kids, not the ones he's talking about, that have been out in the real world, tried to make it, realize they need an education there, and they're determined when they get to community college to not waste their money, not take courses they don't need. So I always think it's sometimes nice to recognize those people that pointed out there are ways for them to make it, which would make it a little easier than they were before. So we named a dredge after one of our interns here on the coast, because the Laura it was pretty cool. So I'm just saying, as you get through this stuff, those people that point things out, that put on all the work and did the other kind of stuff, sometimes it's nice to give them a little bit of credit as we go forward. So
Chair Roblin, our intern was Hannah Hart, who is a law student from Willamette.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. So we've already opened our work session, so I would entertain a motion from my co-chair or my vice chair. Sorry about that. I was raising you up. So.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Roblin. Not to dredge up any old issues, I move House Bill 4043-A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Lithgow moves House Bill 4043-A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none. Is there any opposition? Seeing none. It moved. And the first person to ask a question on this was Senator Dembro. Did you want to carry this bill?
I'd be happy to.
Okay. Thank you very much. So with that, we're going to close the work session and public hearing on House Bill 4043-A, and we're going to open a public hearing and work session on House Bill 4047, and we'll have a short explanation.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, House Bill 4047 prevents education service districts from imposing additional high school diploma requirements on students enrolled in youth corrections education programs or juvenile detention education programs, requires that ESDs accept any credits a student earned in other Oregon educational programs and apply those credits toward the student's Oregon diploma.
So with that, after much work at finding the right person, Richard Devlin, come on up. Donovan. Oh, that's right. Sorry about that. She caught me. But we miss him so much.
He's a good guy. We all miss him every day. Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Richard Donovan on behalf of the Oregon School Boards Association in support of House Bill 4047. House Bill 4047 is, I think you could charitably call it a technical fix. Last session, this body passed House Bill 3267, which precluded school districts from placing additional requirements on a certain subset of students, particularly homeless students. When it comes to graduation, so for example, if you if you were a type of student that had experienced homelessness and you moved from one school district to another, that the one school district could not require you to retake a health requirement or some other kind of non-core requirement outside of the scope of your diploma. Perhaps you'd already taken it previously. It was mostly to facilitate these types of students that have some of the more difficult challenges getting over the line and graduating, and help them clear things and make their path as easy as possible. They still have to comply with all the 24 credit requirement that's enrolled by the state board. They have to meet the core requirements, but it's these kind of other requirements that may operate differently from school district to school district that that bill 3267 precluded. This bill is a follow-up to that. I think that the two chief sponsors would say that they meant to include ESDs, and this bill makes clear, it's particularly for YSEP and JDEP students, students that are in the corrections or juvenile detention programs, to make sure that ESDs do not also add these requirements. And speaking with the Department of Education, I don't think that there are any ESDs that we're aware of that were actually doing this, but this closes a potential loophole. It's a good bill. It's a perfect short session bill, and I encourage your support.
Any questions? I guess just a comment. As a high school principal, one of the issues we had often, because we had a Coast Guard base in our community, some of these kids would transfer in, sometimes in the last semester or whatever, and wanted to be with their parents. And we'd go back, and I finally just said to our counselors, call the school, talk to the counselor, find out if they were on track to graduate. If they were, we need to figure out a way to help them finish it up, because it's just not fair to do that to kids. If they've been doing all the right things all the way along, and then we changed the rules on them in the last semester. And it wasn't that hard to do for most of them. Every once in a while, there were some of our state requirements that are different from other state requirements. But for the most part, it could work out. So I'm happy that we're doing this for these kids. They have a hard enough time getting through. To add new requirements on it would be bad. So thank you for this bill. And I agree, it's a perfect kind of bill for short session.
Happy to do it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
With that, we already opened the work session, so Senator Lithicum.
Chair Roblin, I move House Bill 4047 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Lithicum has moved House Bill 4047 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? So moved, and since I was the only one that spoke, I get to carry. So.
Very consistent of you, Mr.
I tried to be consistent from time to time. So is there any information that the wise members of this committee would wish to impart on the rest of the world through our television network and others before we close the committee?
But we have time to hear from everybody that's here. They could all come tell us what's on their hearts. We could listen.
We could start with your daughter.
No, I'm sure she would love it.
I don't think that's going to happen.
So with that final comment on my part, I am going to close the Senate Education Committee today, which is Monday, February 19th. Thank you all for being here.